do you know that you've been born again?
Do you know that you've been born again? Do you know that you've been born again? Does the Spirit dwell within, bearing witness that you've been cleansed from every sin and stain? Are you ready if the Lord should come? Or today your soul should claim? Can you face eternal years free from doubt and dread and fears? Do you know that you've been born again?
On that second verse now.
Yes, I know that I've been born again. Yes, I know that I've been born again. For the Spirit dwells within, bearing witness that you've been cleansed from every sin and stain. I am ready if the Lord should come, or today my soul should claim. I can face eternal years free from doubt and dread and fears. Yes, I know that I've been born on that third. Thank the Lord now. Thank the Lord that I've been born again. Thank the Lord that I've been born again. I will never shed a tear for the flames of hell so near, for I called upon His name. Yes, I'm ready if the Lord should come, or today my soul should claim. I can lift my head up high, for redemption draweth nigh, for I know that I've been born again.
Wonderful singing. I'm glad we can know that we have been born again. Amen. That's a blessing to know that, Brother Richard. What an honor that is tonight. I'm telling you, I believe God's going to honor everybody that's here tonight because you came out and said, despite what the weather is, we're coming to worship God tonight, and I'm so thankful for what He's going to do for us. The choir tonight's going to sing a song you know, but you sing along with it. No need to doubt Him now. You listen tonight as they sing.
Looking back through the years, the heartaches and tears, the Lord has never once let me down. Oh, I don't understand, still I trust in His plan, for He's dead and His grace will abound.
Yeah.
Amen. Thank the Lord. We don't have to doubt the Lord tonight. Amen. Oh, my. I'm so thankful we can sing a song that says, if Jesus goes with me, I'll go. Let's stand to sing it together tonight. Page 173 and on your monitors. It may be in the valley where countless dangers hide. It may be in the sunshine that I in peace abide. But this one thing I know, if it be dark or fair, if Jesus is with me, I'll go anywhere. If Jesus goes with me, I'll go anywhere. 'Tis heaven to me wherever I can be, if He is there. I count it a privilege if His cross to bear. If Jesus goes with me, I'll go anywhere. Wonderful singing, turn around and fellowship as a... As we get back to our seats, let's go into that second verse. It may be I must tarry. Page 173 in your hymnal if you need it, on the monitors as well. It may be I must carry the blessed word of life across a burning desert to those in sinful strife. And though it be my lot to bear my colors there, if Jesus goes with me, I'll go anywhere. If Jesus goes with me, I'll go anywhere. 'Tis heaven to me wherever I may be, if He is there. I count it a privilege here, His cross to bear. If Jesus
goes with me, I'll go anywhere.
Amen. On the last, ushers, you come forward on this last verse. It is not mine to question.
It is not mine to question the judgments of my Lord. It is but mine to follow the leadings of His Word. But if to go or stay, or whether here or there, I'll be with my Savior content anywhere. If Jesus goes with me, I'll go anywhere. 'Tis heaven to me wherever I may be. If He is there, I count it a privilege here His cross to bear. If Jesus goes with me, I'll go.
Amen. Good singing tonight. Remain standing,
Pastor. Amen. Thank you, Brother Brandon. Good evening. Boy, it's good to see you tonight. Good to be in the house of God. And I'm glad the snow didn't keep you away. I know some people didn't feel good about coming out. And I know we've got several watching by way of the Internet. I want to thank them for tuning in. Good to have all of our guests with us tonight. And, boy, I'm excited to hear what God's got for us tonight. Boy, I know the message last night helped you. And if it didn't, then something's bad wrong. Amen. That we could worship Him. And something He said last night that stuck with me, and I've made the comment and others have, we've got to worship God how He desires to be worshiped, not how we want to worship Him. And but we're in a day where everybody wants to worship God on their terms and how they want to worship Him. And He tells us how to worship Him. And I'm glad we can still come together and worship the Lord, and we don't have to have a pep rally and don't have to have a concert. We can just come in here and understand the goodness of God and all that God's done for us. I was thinking today it's going to be a little bit difficult this week to hand out tracts. And, you know, last week we handed out, 1,600 or so, and calling for bad weather. But I had an idea, Brother Brandon. All those people are going to be stuck in their house. They can't go anywhere. And so you could take four-wheel drive cars and go through them neighborhoods. They're going to be stuck in their house, and you catch them home, you know. And then if they don't come to the door, then you can beat and say, I know you in there, and you know they'll be there. So really, you got to look at the negative turned into a positive. Amen? So do your best. I know they're calling for bad weather coming in, and do your best to get some invitations out this week. And excited about the bus ministry. Had some folks today that on our route, Brother Brandon said, called in, and we may have some more riders there. And so you keep praying. We've got just a couple weeks till we kick that bus ministry off in February, and we want to get as many as we can. So you help us pray about that. And if you can, and the weather permits, we're going to go out Saturday. So let's pray about that. And I just thought about so many times. I was talking to a lady at the bank and was telling about our bus. We bought two buses this week, and she said she goes to a Methodist church. And she said, now, who y'all going to pick up? And I said, well, just pretty much whoever wants to come. I said, you know, you'll have kids that the parents may be crack addicts, may be drug addicts, whatever. And she said, you know what's sad? She said, I've talked to our church about going after people like that, and they don't want them in the church. And we say that, but there, hey, listen, there's a lot of Baptist churches out there. Don't just look at the Methodists. There's a lot of folks don't want all the people, you know, the scourge, so to speak. They want an instant church, and they want everybody coming in, dressing nice, know how to act in church. But that's not who Jesus went after. And so if we're really going to be like Him, we got to go after the ones nobody else wants. And I found this out, Brother Tim. You can trust them. Man, that religious crowd's one hung Jesus on the cross. It wasn't the sinners that did it. Amen. And so you keep praying, go out, get people in here, and we're excited to see what God's going to do this year. Well, let's pray. We'll receive the offering. Everything, again, we give tonight, go to Brother Daniel, And so if you tell you what we'll do, we'll take our regular church offering at the end of service. So on the way out, if you haven't tithed this week, we don't rob you of that blessing. That wouldn't be right of us now, would it? So we'll take that offering at the end of service. This one goes to Brother Daniel. And then right after that, we're going to do our penny march for the kids. And so let's do that. And after we pray, you can be seated. Brother Matt, you pray for us.
Father, so blessed to be in your house again here tonight. Lord, we could be so many other places, Lord, at home, sitting and watching, Lord, but we're, more importantly, God, those who made an attempt, made an effort to come out tonight. Lord, I pray, God, you meet with us tonight. Lord, God, we're just a weak and feeble people. God, just coming to seek you, to hear your man, just preach your word, God. God, it's all about you, Lord. It's all your business. Lord, I pray that your will be done tonight. Lord, you get honor and glory out of this service, Lord, to everything that's done. Lord, let nothing be out of place. Father, we take up this offering. Lord, I pray that you bless it, that you multiply it for your man. God, use it to send him on the road, to see souls saved, to see much fruit bound for his labor. Lord, God, help us each one to carry that gospel to those kids, God. Lord, help us in this bus ministry to stay faithful, not forget that somebody had to share the gospel with us. God, so we could find that poor kid who has no hope. God, that we could just show them that there is hope. So we show the parents that there is hope out there. And that's in you, Lord. And I pray, God, that we'd be faithful, we'd be obedient in that. God, that you help us to do that. Show us the way. Lead us and guide us in our path. We ask it all to be done. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
Sin is a captive, it binds and it holds. Satan will try to abolish your soul. There's only one hope for your destiny. That one hope is found when you're down on your knees. When I knelt, the blood fell. Sin lost the battle. Presented his sacrifice to our God alone. He said, Father, it is finished. And he proclaimed, as heaven cheered, this blood is for all nations, for their redemption, free and clear.
Good singing. Amen. Well, Brandon, y'all come sing one more. Y'all got another one, don't you? I like to wait till they get all the way down and bring them back up. Well, I appreciate that. I'm still thankful for the blood, aren't you? A lot of things have changed over the years, and God's not changed, and redemption's not changed, and the power of the blood still hadn't changed, and maybe if all that hadn't changed, maybe we don't need to change. And I was reading something this week, and you know what happens a lot of times? Things are settled. We say, well, the Word of God is forever settled. And God will put something in His Word, and then we'll come to, and we'll pray, and we'll say, God, give me victory over this. Well, He's already said you got the victory. So He doesn't have to give you the victory. He's already done it. The problem is getting you and I to line up with what His Word says. It's not a matter of God doing it again. He's already done it. But it's a matter of our faith. And so oftentimes we start making up our own versions of what things ought to be. Well, God, you give me this. He's already done it. It's just a matter of you believing in His Word and trusting His Word of what He's already done in the blood of Jesus Christ. And you and I can live a victorious Christian life. And it's not an emotional thing. It's already dictated. It's already settled forever in the Word of God in heaven. It's just you and I getting on the same page as God. That's just, I'm not preaching tonight. I just thought I'd share that with you. Amen. Amen. Y'all sing.
When I think of heaven and all the sights I'll see, the walls of jasper, the gates of pearl, the clear and golden street. Why should I be present? Why should I enter in? After all the sinful living and the wicked man I've been, in the presence of Jehovah, as I stand before His throne, the accuser of the brethren starts to read the things I've done. As I hear these awful charges, this question fills my mind. Why should I not be put in hell to suffer for all time? It's through the blood. That's all I have to plead. It's through the blood. By works of my own righteousness, for filthy rags are they, but because of that old rugged tree hanging on the Calvary, that is my only plea. Turn my world around. That's when I look to Jesus and the price He paid for me. I can lift my hands in praise to Him, and I can shout the victory. When I look to Jesus and the price
Just keep that in front of us, the cross, the sacrifice, the love of God. How wonderful He is. Thank you for the singing. Brother Daniel, you come preach for us tonight. Looking forward to what God's laid on His heart tonight. You give Him your attention. I know He'll be a help to you in preaching tonight.
Holy Father, I so respect You. And I honor You. I admire You. Oh, Lord, consider in the heavens the works of Your fingers. Stars, God, the earth, moon, sun, You've ordained. Lord, what is man? That Thou art mindful of him, or the Son of Man, that Thou visitest him. Oh, we honor You, God, tonight, Holy Father. Thank You, God. You said, Lord, one of these days You'd tabernacle with man, and You wouldn't be ashamed for us to call You our God, or You to call us Your people. That humbles me. Thank You, Holy Father, for our blessed Lord, Jesus. What a friend. What a friend. Lord, You knew before You saved us what a mess up we'd be. God, how we'd fail You. How we'd promise to do better and we'd do worse. How we'd break our word to You over and over again. You're so free to forgive us. Oh, Lord. Lord, so many times you God put it on our heart, beg You to forgive us because You so wanted to love on us. Oh, Your heart went out to us, but our sin separated us between us and Thee. Oh, God, Lord, as that father longed for that prodigal son, You longed for our fellowship. God, we cannot understand that. Oh, Lord, it's the most precious thing, God, in heaven and earth, fellowship with You. Thank You, Lord, for our friends on this earth. Friends like we've got here tonight. Oh, Lord, friends we trust, we believe in. God, fellow laborers together with us. Thank You, God, for them. Thank You, Lord. I've never come to this church. I didn't feel Your presence. Oh, Lord. I want to thank You for the pastor. I pray for his wife, his four children. Brother Brandon, his wife, and their three children. Oh, Lord, for every member God, they's hurting hearts here tonight. God, they're wondering if you're going to go get their children or their grandchildren. Lord God, would you, Lord God, give them faith, God, to believe you. Oh, Lord, we still believe you. Still waiting and expecting and anticipating what you're going to do in these last days. May we be candidates for it. Cooperate with you. Now, Lord, you know every trap Satan will set for these people, for this pastor, for this church. You know, God, what the devil's going to do to try to tire up the flock and divide the flock. Oh, Lord, Father, may you, of God, enforce the power of the blood of Christ against the enemy. God, cover this place with thy Shekinah glory. I pray, God, every demon comes against this place, God, send them to hell before their time. I pray, God, Satan will suffer a mighty defeat. And great God, remember what he done to your son. Remember what Satan's done to man. Take your anger out on him. And God, have mercy on those Christ died for. Have mercy on those, God, thou's redeemed. My God, fill us with the Holy Ghost in this hour. God, we're begging for power. We're begging, God, for you to intervene. My God, help us not to embarrass you in these last days. Oh, God, give us power. Great God, to represent you. Oh, God, power to pray and witness for you and love you and worship you and love and, God, be what we ought to be. All you do, great God, we'll love you and praise you. Glory to your name. In Christ's name, amen. When Jesus was born, the angels appeared and put on a light show like this world's probably never seen. And only the shepherds seen it. God lift that thing up. Now here's what I believe. I believe that when the Shekinah glory of God shone down on those shepherds, they thought they was dead men. And the angels began to proclaim glory to God in the highest. I believe that's when the wise men, the star they thought they seen was God's Shekinah glory. That's what I believe. I believe that Shekinah glory, you know, is a pillar of cloud by day, pillar of fire by night. That star had to be so close that when they came to where Christ was, it stopped right over the house in the middle of the day. I believe it's the Shekinah glory of God. Christ is the glory of God. God deserves all the glory. That means He deserves all your thanksgiving. He deserves all your praise. He deserves your worship, your admiration. He deserves it all. I believe that one of the things we need to learn in this hour is how to give glory to God. It's all through the Bible that we would ascribe glory to God. And it all starts with God saving you to give glory to God. It's an insult to God for a Christian to talk about luck. There's no such a thing as luck or coincidence or accidents. God wants the glory. He wants the glory for all He did to line you up for that day He saved you. He wants the glory. There's a man, I seen him last week, or maybe a week before last, in a grocery store. His name's Cecil Pope, and his nickname's Wormy. And he's a lover of sports, always has been, and he loved to play it when he was growing up. And he's a lot like me. He really loved baseball. And he was a young boy, a teenage boy. He told me he was 12 or 13. That time he lived in a little mill village. And down below the village and right beside the river where it was, this village was built, they had made a ball field down there. And that's where they played baseball. And back then, this was in about 1962. So he was in RA's at the First Baptist Church. And on a Wednesday night, he said that he had thought about being saved many times. But that night, he never had God get a hold of him in RA's. He had a man by the name of John Haney. He was a crippled man who was the RA leader in teaching them. That night, God got a hold of him. And the next day when they were to play, the First Baptist Church was to play Union Grove. Or it might have been Dry Ponds. I think it's Dry Ponds. That in the dugout, God come after him. The ball game was about to start. And God got a hold of him so bad, it horrified him. He was crying, and he could barely see. And he walked up out of that dugout. He didn't know what to do. And he walked toward the first base. And that old man that had never been to a ball game in his life, old John Haney, was in the stands and come down on the field and led him to the Lord beside of the first base dugout. They'd take a fool not to give glory to God for that man getting saved and everything about it. I heard about a man coming out of California, was going to some is years ago, going to a seminary out there, and he's coming back Christmas vacation, I think it was. And he's on the way, and he wants to make the trip profitable. So he got a stack of sermons of a man preaching from the book of Romans. He seen two young people, a man and his girlfriend, is one of the other. He saw them, and he picked them up to take them down the road. He didn't know who they were. He didn't know they were Jews. And he said, I'm going to play this sermon. I'll not play it loud, but I'm listening to these tapes. And y'all go to sleep, do whatever you want to do. I'm going to listen to this guy, and I won't turn it up real loud. The man was teaching or preaching from the 11th chapter of the book of Romans on the future of Israel. And he got to the end of that tape, and he didn't know this. Listen, and they both said, could you play that again? He got through it the second time. They said, could you play it one more time? We're hearing things we have never heard. Hey, God saved them. And they stopped in Salt Lake City, home of the Mormons, and like they never found them a Bible, but they finally did. They'd take a fool not to give glory to God for how that thing come about. You meditate on what God did. You take this pastor up here, Brother Greg back there, my life even standing here. You think of the investment God made in us. You think of generations back. You think of all the preachers we've heard, all the effort and all the Sunday school teachers and all the prayers and all the study and everything's gone into standing right here, right now in this place. I'd be a fool not to give glory to God. Brother Greg's boy back there, Henderson Lazarus Lentz. Lazarus died, and he's sitting back there. I'd be a fool not to give glory to God. I'll tell you one thing. I'm supposed to have been a dead man at 45 years old, and I'm standing here tonight. I'd be a fool not to give glory to God. God wants to be the biggest thing in our life. My salvation experience is the greatest thing in the world to me outside of God. And how He did it. Glory's in that. Glory how he dealt with me. Glory how he opened my eyes. Glory how it was grace that taught my heart to fear. Grace my fears relieved. Glory to God. You got a Bible in your hand, you're holding heaven. You're holding heaven. God's words in your hands. That millions have died to give you. Think about 39, 40 authors. Ever how many there is. All of them but Jews but one, and he might have been one live. I don't know. All that's gone in to you having a Bible, having the truth. Glory to God. Praise his name. And ain't none of us accidents sitting in here. Apostle Paul was headed to Asia, and God in a vision let him see a man in Macedonia, and the European white man got the gospel. He is headed to Turkey and headed to Asia, and God turned him around to come to us. Glory to God. Ain't he good? How many wrecks you about been in maybe today? You thought you got lucky. Don't rob God's angels of protecting you. Glory to God. I'm telling you, that's what worship's about. It's giving glory to God. Man, having the divine nature. I've got heaven in me when I hold, or I've got heaven in my hands when I hold the Bible. I've got the divine nature in me, the Holy Ghost in me. God's living in me. Glory to God. I couldn't talk to Obama, wouldn't want to if I could, but I can go to the God of heaven. Glory to God. He don't just give me opportunity. He begs me to come. He encourages me to come, gives me a Bible full of promises to come. And the greatest thing in 10 million worlds, and I don't treat it like it's the most precious thing. I tell you, God's the biggest thing to me. Ain't nothing in this world excites me like him. I want to get closer to him, more in love with him. And because I owe him praise forever for what he's done for me. God, that's just right. Boy, he's done it, ain't he? I thank God for the man that preached to me. If God hadn't saved him, he might have been a bootlegger, child molester, wife beater. God saved him, and God called him, and God burdened him, and God put him where he was. He come across Spruce Pine Mountain, Cox's Creek, many a time before the church built a pastorium. And come across that mountain, could have been killed a thousand times. Coming down there to a little church on the other side of Valdez, North Carolina, on Mineral Springs Mountain, going towards Highway number 18. And God took one of the mountain's best preachers and sent him down there to preach to me. Hallelujah and glory to God. My daddy was in the Navy, 1951 to 54. He never would drink, and he never would run chase women. You know why? Because he wanted a family, and he wanted children, and he wanted God's blessings on him. Him and my mom were dating. My mama's going to church that lost the fire, lost the power. And my home church at the time is the most powerful church in the whole part of that country. And my daddy heard an old mountain preacher. He is from Mitchell County. That's where he come from preaching. He's originally from Johnson City or Elizabethan, Tennessee. Old brother Mike Hodge. But he's from up there in the mountains, and they got him down there. And he come to that church in 1955. My daddy went there in 56 and been there ever since. My daddy been married to the same woman since 57, went to the same church since 55, lived in the same place since 63, and worked at the same place over 40 years. I'd say he's consistent. My daddy told my mama, he said, when we get married, I'm going to choose the church. And that decision, right there, if I'd have been raised in the church my mama went to, I'd have probably never been saved. But God put me right down in the midst of the saints of God that praise God, move God, glory to God. Praise. said, well, I wasn't raised in an old-fashioned church. Are you saved? Well, you got more to shout about than me. Amen. They asked Percy Ray one time, said, can a man get saved with a woman's preaching? Well, he didn't know how to answer that. And, of course, he probably said that if he heard a man first. He said, well, let me tell you, babies can be born at 32 degrees in a ditch, but it ain't the best place to be born. Now, you can't handcuff God where God can do things, but there are some places more suitable for it to happen. And I'll tell you what, God saved you in a deep freeze, you ought to shout. There's no boy down in South Carolina. He told me, he said, I was raised my whole life, never knew a Baptist church. And this is the 50s and 60s. Said, I didn't know one person in the church that ever got converted there. He said, but one Sunday morning, the pastor was out, and the Southern Baptist Association had some old evangelist coming through, and they sent him over there. Said, that old boy's full of God and the Holy Ghost. And that Sunday morning, he said, God saved me. He said, as far as I know, I'm the only one ever got saved in that church. Glory to God. That's how big God ought to be to you. Tell you what, if we give Him more credit, He might do more for us. That's why you get to thanking Him before He answers your prayers. Because He lets you know He's going to. Well, I want to talk to you a little bit. I done took up a lot of time already. You know what? Here I am Wednesday night, the first time I've seen that clock right now. I'm serious. Boy, ain't I blind. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I tell you what, folks. I'll tell you something. God's got to get big to you. Hey, the bigger God is to you, the more faith you're going to have in Him. I tell you what, He's big. David would say, God enlarge my heart. Yes, sir. He give me a large heart. Talk about that. And a big place. And all those words David used. God enlarge my ability to understand you, know you, and get a grasp a little bit of what you are. My God. And you can't handle much. You can't handle much. Listen, folks. God, through the eternal, endless ages, is going to show you the riches of His grace. God will never get through telling you how big He is and how good His grace was, because you'll see in that hour what you really were that you've never seen. And the price Christ paid for you. Well, I'm telling stories. I may not even get to this. There's a woman one time, she is a-praying, and she seen the Lord. And He had a big load, big burden, carrying it on His back. It's a big, like wood, just a big load. And she said, Lord, does that represent the sin of the world? He said, no, child, that's just yours. Ain't the Lord good? The greatest privilege God's ever given a man is to know God. The hell of hell is not the darkness, and it's not the fire, and it's not that it's forever. It's that a sinner will never know God. That's the hell of hell. To never know God's peace, to never know God's love, to never experience Christ is hell. The hell of hell. Well, that's right. Man that won't God is going to fall forever away from God. God never smile at him. No hope. You think about that. To never know God. My soul, that's something to think about, ain't it? Well, here in 1 Samuel 12, let me just read a few verses here. I don't even know really what to do. I want to encourage the church tonight. Now, Brother Mike done said it. God's told us how He wants to be worshipped. And God's told us how to do His work. It's not a secret. It's not complicated. And the Lord's told you how to live for Him. It's not complicated. We just have so much conflict. We just have a struggle. We have such a struggle within. and such a struggle without. And the world's against us and everything's against us. That's why you better love God's people. They're the only ones in the whole world even pulling for you. Everybody else is pulling against you besides the Lord. You know that? Now, 1 Samuel 12 and verse 20. And Samuel said unto the people, "Fear not, ye have done all this wickedness, yet turn not aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart. And turn ye not aside, for then should ye go after vain things, which cannot profit nor deliver, for they are vain. For the Lord will not forsake His people for His great name's sake." Now, I'll tell you what I believe that means. That's like what God said in Romans 11 about Him not forsaking the children of Israel because of the patriarchs. Now, it wasn't that Abraham prayed for them, or that Isaac did, or Jacob did, and convinced God not to turn away from their offspring or their seed. It was God made a covenant with them. That's what this means. God will not turn away from His people because He's got a reputation and a character and integrity to keep His word. And God made a covenant with Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago. If you're saved tonight, you're in that covenant. He will not forsake you. Now, what's He saying? Because God's so good to you, why do you not want to serve Him? If God's as good as we say, why don't we want to talk to Him? If God's as glorious as we say, why don't we want to read the Bible? Because the flesh in us abhors God. That's right. That's why the one you feed is the one's going to control you. Because it hath pleased the Lord to make you His people. I said this the other night, I think church buildings are everywhere. Very few places have the congregation of the Lord. There's a lot of places got one or two or three in there, saved, a little handful, but to have a congregation of the Lord is rare. I believe that. Now listen to this. "Moreover, as for me," now this is what Samuel said. He's saying that don't forsake God. He's too good to you. He made a covenant with you. He's not going to forsake you. Don't you forsake Him. He loves you. Then you ought to love Him. He loved us before we first loved Him. "But Samuel said, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. But I will teach you the good and the right way. Only fear the Lord and serve Him in truth with all your heart. Consider how great things He hath done for you." That's what I've been trying to talk about a little bit before I read this scripture. Consider the great things God hath done for you. "But if you shall still do wickedly, you shall be consumed, both ye and your king." I want to talk to you tonight about the sin of prayerlessness. Samuel said, if I don't pray for you, it's a sin against the Lord. That's what he said. So many people look at prayer as a ritual instead of a relationship. They look at it as a drudgery and a duty. And sometimes we just do it because it is our duty. You know how many times I feel like praying? Very few. Not unless God's really burdened me or the spirit of prayer comes on me. Probably more times than not, I've got to make myself do it till I start feeling like doing it. You ever notice that? Sort of like exercising. If you can just get yourself to get started, you'll get to liking it. Your body responds to it. Get your blood flowing. Get your mind cleared out. Get the fog out of your eyes and the cobwebs out of your brain. And you get to feeling better about it. Prayer's a lot that way. It's a struggle. And there's a fight there and there's a warfare there. If you want to know what's powerful and what works, just find out what Satan fights. Find out what the flesh fights and you know what is powerful. That's right. Now, a prayer fellowship with God. It subdues my will. It strengthens my spirit. It encourages my heart. It's a privilege and a responsibility. And there's one thing. I can't take a U-Haul of my goods to heaven. Wouldn't even want to do that no-how. What you can send ahead, one thing you can send ahead, though there's more than one thing you can send ahead is your prayers. One day in the book of Revelation, God said He's going to pour out the bottle of people's prayers. and of their tears. And God's going to be answering things. God's answering prayers right now, being prayed by the old saints of God. They never saw them answered, and God's still answering some of them prayers. Amen. Ain't that a blessing? That ought to encourage us to get at it and do more of it. But we know that to implement and to extend the kingdom of God takes prayer, it takes preaching, it takes God's people. And one of the first things, though, is this thing of prayer. Hey, how do I know God's purpose? How do I know God's will? How do I know God's opportunity? I'll tell you one thing. I was talking to a man today. I see he's talking about some decision in the church he pastored. I said, I'll tell you one thing. God doesn't just know 20 years down the road, young people, when you get married. He doesn't just know 30 years down the road. He knows a billion years from now, just like he knows 1 minute from now. And it ought to behoove us to find out what God wants, because he knows it all. God's never had to teach himself anything. Do you know that? Ain't that wonderful? God's will will be done. His overall will is going to be done. The church is going to be built. I sure don't want to miss out my part in it. And the purpose God saved me for. Boy, how much more though would the Lord do for us if God would help us? I need God to help me. Brother, I'm going to be challenged by the flesh and the devil when I leave here in tomorrow for even preaching this. I mean, you know, the home is the proven ground of what we preach. And out in the world, we've got to live what we preach. And if somebody not living what they preach, it'll come across empty. So I hope what I'm saying don't come across empty. And I have made an effort to try to do some of this, though I need to do more. Let me get off myself, because I don't need to say nothing about me. It's all about him. Prayer is such an honor, and it's such a privilege, and it does so much for us. Well, the Lord said, you have not because you ask not. And then you ask, and you ask amiss. You don't ask for the right motive. Through prayer, not only do you enter in to what God wants to do for you, but you enter in to the labors of other people. I can't go to China tonight and Russia tonight, be everywhere at one time, except one way is prayer. I can build a mission field anywhere in the world in 1 second. I can be standing beside any preacher in one, just a thought of prayer. And we can be right there with them. Or we can be there in the hospital room praying. God touch a doctor's hands and God bless that person. That's why I'll tell you one thing. I believe that prayer, sometimes God is waiting on his people to pray. And what a blessing it is when they do. I'm standing here tonight covered with the prayers of not just you people, but those that I pastor, many of them. Now, I got one of those texts yesterday, and it wasn't supposed to have got to me. You know, sometimes you text one, if you text 20 at a time, and everybody that responds, somehow you get the text that wasn't even supposed to be to you. I don't know how that works. There's a woman in the church said, now, ladies, remember the pastor tonight. Hey, I'll tell you one thing. That's what keeps a man going. It's the prayers of God's people. Don't think for a minute that it doesn't matter. It does matter, and it makes a great difference. For we partake of the ministry of others. We can go to the hospitals, the prisons, the mission field. We can do a lot of things on our knees. We can circle the globe. That's what prayer does. It can circle the globe. It doesn't just circle the globe. It can go to the third heaven, where they can't even find. So far up there, but God can be so near. But if you're going to know somebody, you got to be with somebody. You want to know God, you got to hang around him a lot. You want to know your wife, you got to be around her. You want to know your husband, you got to be around him. Now I know why you don't want to be around him. That's just a joke and it ain't very funny, is it? But to know somebody, you got to be around him. And to know God, you got to be around him. You got to be around him. You got to love to be around him. Oh, may God help us to have that craving in our heart to be around the Lord. Now, God has chose two instruments to get his work done in this world. Remember, one was the nation of Israel and the Jew, the Israelites in the Old Testament. And they'll do it again in the tribulation and in the millennial kingdom. But in this little period between Daniel's 69th and 70th week, that little gap of 2,000 years, it's the church age.
the age of the church, the age of grace, the age of the Holy Spirit. And that's where we are tonight. And we've got the mandate to preach the gospel and reach His world. Now, you're a body. This little local church here. All local churches, big, small, middle, whatever, they're a body. If God put you in this church, you're part of the body. You may be the fingers, the hand, the foot, I don't know. I know one thing, you ain't the head, that's Jesus. Amen, He's the head. And you're part of the body. Now, if you're going to function right, you need all your body working. You don't need your legs cut off, your arms cut off, if you're going to be able to do. I mean, there's a lot of things you can do without a leg, but it makes it a whole lot more difficult, doesn't it? But that's one reason churches are in such a struggle, because so much of the body's missing. That's right. You're part of the body, and God put you there, and you got a part there. And may God help you to find out what that part is. And they need you, folks. I don't care how smart you are. You might not can write your name in boxcar letters or read it, but you're needed at the house of God, and you're very important. Now, we see here who's the greatest preacher in the New Testament outside of Christ. Probably all of us would say the Apostle Paul. I would in a heartbeat. Man wrote down, God said it, but Paul wrote 14 books of the New Testament. Started all those churches, was effective like he was. I'm telling you, there ain't never been a man in the Bible outside of Moses knew God even more than Paul. Paul and Moses knew him like face to face up there on Mount Sinai. But God took Paul to the third heaven. Well, I'm not getting sidetracked on that. What I'm trying to say, this is a mighty man. It's a powerful man. Hey, he shouldn't need anybody. He shouldn't need anybody. Isn't that right? Boy, he's the man. Why does he need anybody praying for him? Mandate he's got. Power that man's got. Why does he need anybody praying for him? Well, under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God said, you better get a hold of that church and tell them to pray for you. You ever noticed that when you get sick, you can't even hardly pray for yourself? And God will say, get on the phone. Now, I know you can pray and I can hear you, but I'm not going to hear you this time. I want you to go and I want you to get them to pray for you. And then I'm going to touch you. And then they're going to get a part in that thing. They're going to get blessed and you're going to get blessed. And everybody pray for you is going to get blessed. You know what God does? He about bends over backwards and forwards to give an excuse to bless us and reward us. Ain't that good? That's how much the Lord wants to reward you. He's just looking for excuses to do it. And then He does the work and lets you think you'd have done half of it. That's like me when I used to sit on my daddy's lap when I was a little old kid. Well, I never was a little kid. I was young in age. But when I'd sit on my daddy's lap, he'd let me sit. Never would let my sisters do this, but he'd let me. I'd sit on his lap. He'd give me the steering wheel. He couldn't have no need to give me the gas and brakes. I couldn't reach him. And my daddy ain't a fool. Anyhow, he let me touch the steering wheel. Well, you know he's got his hand right here. He's let me think I'm doing it. All he's let me do is think I'm doing it. Amen. That's about like God. That's about, hey, the Holy Ghost empowers us. He opens the door and God gives us grace and opportunities. He lets us put our hand on the steering wheel to let us think we're helping Him up and thank God for the part we are. But God gets the glory that rewards us like we really done something. Say, well, I witnessed somebody. How long did it take God aggravating you to get you to do it? Right. And why was it they didn't even listen to you? Folks, I'm telling you, give glory to God. Boy, this is an honor and a privilege for Him to let us do anything. Amen. Paul said, with all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, which also I am in bond. Notice Paul had a lot of personal needs, but right here, he's not praying for them. He said, I want you to pray that God would give me an open door. Notice now right quick, he used the imagery of a door. Everybody can understand that. A door is the way you get in or out of a building. A door, an open door. Means an opportunity. It means that God has given you the privilege of taking the gospel somewhere, and God given that open door. Now, notice this. In Acts 14:27, when they were come, God gathered the church together. They rehearsed all that God had done with them, how He had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. Ain't nobody but God can open this community to you. And sometimes God don't do it because it ain't time. If the saints of God's in our belly aching and fighting each other, God don't want to bring a bunch of babies in an atmosphere like that. God has to open the door. You can send a preacher anywhere, but God's got to open the door. God's got to open the door and bless that preaching and bless the labor. All those missionaries in the 1800s would be somewhere 7 and 8 years before they even got the first convert. Boy, that'd take faith, wouldn't it? But God slowly would open the door. And when God opened that door, I mean He slammed her open. That's what you pray for. That God, all these tracts you've given out and all this witnessing you're doing, that God, the Holy Ghost, would touch that with His breath and with revival and with power, and it'll have a result. You go do all you can, but then pray God will bless it. Amen. That's our responsibility. 1 Corinthians 16:9. For a great and effectual door is open unto me, but there are many adversaries. 2 Corinthians, why is he telling them that? So they'll pray for it. 2 Corinthians 2:12. Furthermore, and I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, a door was open unto me of the Lord. Notice Paul said, I want you to pray that I preach, and I preach in simplicity, and people can understand it. It's not that Paul didn't know the words to use, but he wanted to preach in a way that God would give men understanding of what he was trying to say. Amen. I can say all I want to up here and hit your ear, but I can't get to your heart. God can put it in your heart. Amen. Boy, he said in Ephesians 6:19, he said he begged them to pray. Ask for me that utterance. Utterance. That's words given by the Holy Ghost with a punch. Utterance. May give it to me that I may open my mouth boldly. Paul said, I'm praying I won't get weak, needing, get full of fear, but I'll open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Then Paul said in Colossians 4:4, the next verse, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Folks, listen to me. I love you to death. Listen, you God's people, I'm trying to say God's got a way of doing things. And God's people, God wants you to pray. God don't want you taking for granted your pastor. You don't. God don't want you to take for granted. He'll just have the message of the Lord. God wants you to pray. God wants you to cover him in prayer. That when he stands up here, there'll be somebody bigger than him. Get on him. And God fill this atmosphere with the electrical power of God. And it have the effect God would have it have. 2 Thessalonians 3:1. This is Paul now. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you. All you athletes in here and got folks love sports, that means that it might run well, that it might run swift. You say, what in the world's that saying? Because you get in churches and sometimes Satan fights it so hard, people in the church want to hear and can't have here because the devil's got everything bound up. But God, let the word of God run free throughout that congregation. And now through the internet, amen. Let God run through that resistance. In our prayers, we've got influence, amen. Let me just say this right quick about your pastor and every preacher so desperately needs this. Where Paul is requesting these prayers. He said, I've not shunned to declare unto you all of the counsel of God. So when you pray for your pastor, you're praying for his preaching. Pray for his preaching. Pray he'll be bold, compassionate. God give him utterance. Ain't nobody got all these gifts. They're from God. I don't care how much God's ever used a man. He's got to have him right now as much as he ever has. Because without him, we can do nothing. So pray. He'll preach the whole counsel of God as God leads him. And as a church, can be mature enough to take it. Amen. And that's a big word. Bold preaching and compassionate preaching. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient. And when they prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and spake the word of God with boldness. These are P's now. Pray for his preaching. Number two, pray for his preparation. Pray he'll get his hands on the material that he needs to study. You say, well, I believe a man ought to get up and open his mouth. Yet all come out hot air. God said to study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, and pray for his preparation. That if there's a good commentary, that'll really help him to explain the scripture and explain it to himself. First, God's got to show a man the truth, and then he delivers the truth. Let God let him hear the right preacher and keep him away from that that'll confuse him. Amen. I got to hurry on. Pray for his protection. Ain't nobody in this church of guns of hell's at like him. Next are after his wife and his children. If Satan takes out God's man, he takes out a church. Till you find another one. You just don't know. Seriousness of the devil taking out God's man. He wants to destroy this church. That's the easiest way to do it. He don't have to worry about 200, 300, 400, ever how many comes here. He takes out one man. Think of the damage that'll do. Pray for his protection. 2 Thessalonians 3:2, we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not the faith. Pray, when you pray for his protection, pray for him personally. That's 2 Timothy 4:14, Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. And the old Alexander the coppersmith got old Paul arrested on many occasions. Here's a thorn in his flesh, trying to incite rights against him. Pray for the attacks against his message. 2 Timothy 4:15, of whom be thou wire also, he hath greatly withstood our words. I'd face a preacher up there close to the house. I didn't know this. An older woman used to go to the church he pastored, told me. She said, there's a man in there, got against the pastor, and would sit down there on the second row, shaking his head at him. Got his tongue out at him. That's this time, his words. Don't you think for a minute everybody's demonic enough to do that. Some do it silently. Withstand the words of God's man. Then the attack against his position. 3 John 9:10. I wrote unto the church, the author of us who love to have the preeminence among them, received us not. I'm going to tell you something. God's youngins ain't named Absalom. God ain't going to give you a mission to overtop or to have some coup against the pastor. Amen. Wherefore, if I come, I'll remember which he doeth, prating against us malicious words, not contempt therewith, neither hath he himself received the brethren, forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. Pray then, not only for his preaching, and not only for his preparation and protection, pray for his purity. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given hospitality. Pray, God give him purity of his desires. Paul said, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I should be ashamed, that with all boldness, as always, also Christ may be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. Pray for purity of life. For to me is live, to live is Christ, to die is vain. Pray for purity in his marriage. Proverbs 5:18, let thy fountain be blessed and rejoice. with the wife of value. Pray that God, when he sees some Jezebel come on, that God will give him the boldness and the Holy Ghost to rebuke that demon of lust. And may God let his wife see it, and he ain't got to mess with her. Tell you, you don't mess no holy woman when it comes to her man. That's right. And she'll do her best to show you the trash can. I tell you one thing, when I was a kid, ain't nobody scared me to death like a preacher or a holy woman. Folks, we got to pray for each other. Satan wants to take your pastor out. He wants to take his children out. He wants him distracted. He wants him frustrated. He wants him discouraged. Now, I'll tell you something. Best thing you can do for this preacher is, I don't know if he needs a raise, but if he does, give it to him. But the best thing you can do for him, just serve God. He ain't got to carry you around on his heart. I wonder where they are today. I want to listen to me. I know you've got a lot of folks go here, and this may be too much to ask, but if you can't be here, please text him and tell him. Just let him know. Because he's a shepherd. He knows where the sheep are. He knows where they're supposed to be. And then he's up here preaching. The devil said they just left. I'm telling you, it's warfare. Let's be considerate one of another. Amen. And if you're sick, you need the prayers of God's people. Now, right quick, here we go. Listen, I done took up way too much time already trying to get here. Three kinds of prayer are in the believer's life. Number one's casual prayer. A lot of people don't ever say a prayer. They bow their head at a meal. God is good. God is great. Let us thank you for all that stuff. And a casual prayer. Or they go to bed at night and, you know, pray that, you know, what's that prayer? I about forgot it. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. I should die before I wake. Or something like that. You know. Anyhow, that's casual prayer. There ain't no burden. There's no heart. There's no relationship. It's just something you do. That's a ritual. It's a rabbit's foot and a good luck charm. And then there's committed prayer. That's when you get a little deeper in prayer and you get a prayer list. You get more serious about it. And you try to pray for lost people, try to pray for sick folks, try to pray for the church, and try to pray for the ministry of the church. And then thirdly, there's combative prayer. That's warfare prayer. That's Colossians 4:12. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ. He said he's a member of your fellowship. He saluted you. He's with Paul. He salutes you, greeting you. He's embracing you. He rejoices in you. He saluteth you, always laboring fervently in prayers that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Now, if that's not important, why did the Holy Ghost waste that man's time doing it? It is important. Now, this is a special burden. He's wrestling in prayer. God, give him the burden and let him feel that demonic power against the church. Let him stand against it in the blood and the name and the authority of Christ and the Word of God. Amen. That's going behind enemy lines. That's the Navy SEALs. That's the Army Rangers. That's those God can use their prayers because they live right. You get to praying like this, you can't have sin in your life. The devil make a fool out of you. You've got to have your sins confessed. And God use you. This person's being besieged. This family's being besieged. Boy, what if you had just 12 people in here? And maybe you got more now. What if you had just 12? Really? Could go to God in prayer when somebody's getting besieged. Wouldn't that make a difference? But with this kind of prayer, you got to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You got to discern. God lets you discern that resistance. You feel it. He shares his burdens with you. Oh, what a blessed thing. Laboring fervently for you. That's the same word as Paul said, fight the good fight of faith. Warfare prayer is praying against Satan. Well, we got all these rebellious children, homes in trouble. My God, folks, if we had a famine in the land
and we didn't have a bite to eat, I guarantee you we could pray. But there's a famine in the land of the hearing of the Word of God. Where I pastor, and Brother Mike, all I know is my life, and I can't stand talking about myself, but where God lets me pastor his little old flock there. I was telling church Sunday night, there's a man drives hour and a half. There's another one drives an hour. There's one 45 minutes. There's one 50 minutes. And just go down the line. There's some in other states give anything in the world if they lived around a church had confidence in. And the Bible says when there comes that famine of the hearing of the Word, there's going to be a famine of the preaching of it. And we're there. I'm not talking about men that's learned how to give a speech. I'm talking about the anointing of God and God-called men. Where God's got the congregation of the Lord and the supernatural things happen. Like God healing people, saving people, filling people with the Holy Ghost. Supernatural things. Y'all seen some of that and pray for a whole lot more, aren't you? Don't take for granted, you little Sunday school teachers. Pray for them. Pray for them. Listen, a lot of times kids don't hear a man preach. They learn. Most of the Bible I learned in Sunday school when I was a kid. When I got right with God, it come back to me. I love vacation Bible school. I love stuff like that. They could keep my attention a little bit because back then, praise God, they didn't have all this stuff we got now. Cookies and Kool-Aid was exciting back then. My God in heaven, if you ain't got 15 pizzas, you know what I have. But kids, you just being spoiled. You don't have good you got. It's Christmas every day in America. Now, it wasn't when I was a kid. Amen. I'm not jumping on you. But I'm saying, pray, listen. The most formable years of our life is Sunday school. The most spiritual people you've got in the church ought to be Sunday school teachers. They're forming those children's life. They're setting the example of what a Christian ought to be. A lot of times it's not a sermon they need to hear. They need to see one lived. Sunday school teachers that pray for their children. They get a heart for them. They love them. A child will never forget somebody that showed an interest in them. I can go back my mind. The people that showed an interest in me. I've never forgot them. I'm going to tell you about one. He's a big man. He's about 6'5". I mean a mountain of a man. He had one real weakness, and it's his temper. And man, he'd go crazy, get mad. Man, he'd hurt people. He saved me. Good man. When he wasn't mad, he's a really good man. He didn't lose his temper much, but if he did, you better get out of the way. And that was his weakness. I'm going to tell you something. He died and went to heaven, and he sat on his deathbed before he should have because he didn't serve God like he ought to. And I'll tell you, I never did preach. Sorry as I do, he'd always come up and say, son, that's a good message. I'm a praying for you. Well, he was halfway out of gear half the time. But I'll never forget those. I tell you, there's a little old bitty woman. She didn't have a bit of education to back then to make a little old living. Her old daddy is blind, and she had washed clothes and iron clothes and do stuff like that, try to make a little bit of money. I tell you, every month I started preaching. She'd give me $5. I'm telling you, that still charges me to this day. I'm talking about people that know how to be an encouragement to you. Prayers for one another. Well, you get addicted to that, you start doing it. Praying for the singers. Brother Brandon, I mean, this ain't easy doing what he's doing. This is a huge responsibility. Outside of your pastor, probably what he's trying to do is the most important second thing in a worship service. Leading people to praise. And trying to have an atmosphere where God, that seed can be sown and the preaching will have an atmosphere. And people can get help. Come down here to the altar. While they're singing, Pray for your singer, instrument player. All these guys out here. Amen. Hallelujah. And them hallelujah that's got something on them that helps in a fight. Thank God for them. And you know what I'm talking about. And listen, pray for each other. You don't see God change His church. I mean, get it where you want it to be. That's what you got to do. This is God's way. This is how God said do it. Bear you one another's burdens. So fulfill the law of Christ. I'm not preaching one thing you ain't heard 1,000 times. You just need to hear it again. What this live stream? What about all this stuff? All y'all are doing, whatever you do here. Missionaries. Listen, we shouldn't take this stuff for granted. Here I've preached this whole thing, and that preached about Saul. You already know it. You already know about Samuel. You already know the context of this. And that's the introduction. I'm not going to preach much more because there ain't no need to. I done told you what I feel like God wants me to. Get at it. Pray. First of all, pray for yourself. You said, I don't feel like praying. Ask God to help you feel like it. Tell God how weak you are. He loves hearing how weak you are because in your weakness you're made strong. Say, God, the devil's a fight me. Well, go tell him that. Say, Lord, here's what the devil told me about you today. I want you to go do something to him. He's a bully, and Jesus is your big brother. Say, Lord, you know what the devil told me about my pastor? I just want to tell you what he told me. Go tell the Lord what the devil told you about your preacher. And say, Lord, make him pay for that. You make the devil, you don't make him mad. Tell him he's a liar. Satan, you're a liar. That's like mirrors and weighing scales. I look in the mirror, get on the power scales, I say, you're a liar. Amen. Samuel's grieved. He's frustrated. They're rejecting God as king. And they're wanting a king like the world. But you know what old Samuel said? He said, moreover, God forbid I should sin, not against you, sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. Hey, listen. I got my little old part in the edge of the field. I'm never going to be big time. But I know some men are. And I can share their ministry if I pray for them. God, you see God's hand on somebody, you pray, number one, God keep them humble. God keep them pure. Because Satan loves to exalt men and bring them down. Amen. Prayerlessness is evidence of pride. Or ignorance one. When we don't pray, we're saying, God, I don't really need you right now. You know what prayer is to some people? It's like a spare tire. You're glad it's there, but you don't ever want to have to use it. It's like an oxygen mask on an airplane. You're glad it's there, but you hope you never have to use it. You ever slept with a breathing machine? You want to keep using them. You need the air. You get to praying, you'll find out how bad you need it. Your body get used to exercise, it's got to have it. Your metabolism shuts down. You get to pray, you get strong. And you get stronger. And you get stronger in faith. And you get stronger in spirit. And God can use you like He wants to. Oh, listen, folks. We got all of the tools we need. This church has got everything it needs to do what God wants it to do right now. Now, that may not be so for next year. But for right now, God's give you what you need. If everybody gets to doing. And the first thing, bathe this church in prayer every day. I'm not telling you how long to pray. I'm not going to put you under legalism. You may pray on the way to work. Pray for your preacher every day. Pray God. Anoint him. Fill him and use him. God give him favor with this community and with lost people. Our Lord's got the answer. Hell, we get all bent out of shape about Washington, D.C. That ain't our answer. Now, I'm going to preach for the less devils and hold my nose, probably, according to who it is. But I ain't our answer. You ride an elephant or a donkey, God have mercy on you. That ain't our answer. I'm not saying there ain't a difference in them. I'm just trying to tell you, it grieves God when our hope is in the economy instead of the Lord. I'll take care of you. Now, let me just say this. Piano player, you come on. Let's say you got sick tonight and you're in the hospital. And you say, Lord, I want you to let me live because I really want to live for you. God, I want you to give me a good job because I really want to be a good tither. Won't you use that with the Lord? Lord, I want you to bless me so I can be a blessing. How'd you like to have enough money to not just do your obligation, you might say, of the tithe, and be able to help little women in the church that don't have a husband, and they just give them a piece of money? Boy, that's a blessing. That's such a blessing to be a help to somebody. You ever been on the receiving end when you really need it? How'd you like to be on the other end? And God just make a blessing out of you to a lot of people. Say, God, give me money so I can give it out. Now, He wants you to provide for the future. I'm not an idiot. God, if you'd give me a singing talent, I'd never sing the songs of the world. I'd sing your songs. There's a lady up there at the church about 20 years old. Hadn't been converted that long, Brother Pastor. She's so wanted. This is when she wasn't even saved. She's so wanted to play the piano. She couldn't get it. She never took lessons. They couldn't afford lessons, so she just wanted God to give it to her. And she said she kept, nothing would happen. Nothing would happen. One day she said, Lord, if you will give me the ability to do this, I promise you I'll never play the songs of the world. She opened her eyes and bang, it clicked. She'd been playing ever since. She said, one time, it's forced you to say, one time, you say God don't hear the prayers of sinners, then how do they get saved? God hears everything going on. You can't hide nothing from Him. He don't obligate Himself to answer you. That's what that means. If He hears your prayer, that's just mercy and grace. Anyhow, she said one time she tried to play a song. It wasn't the Lord's song. And she said, the Holy Ghost said, I'll take that gift from you. Give God a reason to let you live. Give God a reason to bless you. Amen. Give Him a reason so He can get glory out of your life. And hallelujah to His name. You know, you watch a cartoon, you always get to the end of it, it says, the end. Church, I love you. I always love coming here. I love you, Pastor, and I love you. Some of you I remember, and some I don't know you. But you're God's people. I tell you how precious you are. The Lord died for you. That makes you really important. That makes you really important. He way overpaid for all of it. You take a kid growing up now, all they've ever seen is rice burners. They don't know what a muscle car is. I'll get them all in there for y'all. A 70 Mustang, a 70 Chevelle, or a 70 Roadrunner or Charger. That gets the Mopars, that gets all of them in there. Wouldn't mean a thing to a lot of kids nowadays. There's a girl up there, she's married now at the church. Her daddy had a 1970 Camaro Z28 stainless steel exhaust from factory. He wanted to give it to her, and she didn't even want it. Have all God help her. Because she didn't know the value of it. She didn't know what it was. Some people wouldn't give $500 for what some men would give $200,000. I tell you how valuable you were to God. Jesus way overpaid, but that's how valuable you were to Him. Hey, it ought to be our privilege to thank Him and give Him glory. I want to encourage you to love each other and love your pastor and follow him. And he's going to try to follow the Lord. That's his heart. That's his heart. He wants to do right. Brother Bram, they want to do right. Y'all want to do right. Just get all that in the right direction. But if you'll keep praying, it'll keep dissension down. God will protect you. Let's bow our heads in prayer. God opened the door of faith for this community like you never have. You sent these people here. This is the congregation of the Lord. God, it's got to be because of the liberty I felt in this pulpit 3 nights in a row. And God, there's somebody in here praying
and they're pleasing you, and you've heard them and had mercy on me and helped me, and I want to thank you for it. God, every penny, nickel, dime, dollar that they've took out of their own money to give something to me, bless them a hundredfold. And dear God, they've done it because I represent you. And I'm sure they may think something of me to a degree, but really it's you, Lord. They love me because I represent you. And that's the way it ought to be. Thank you for the little children of God. Lord, I pray you'll build a fellowship of love here that hate can't bring down. God, a fellowship of faith here that doubt can't crumble. And God, a fellowship of power here. Sinners will be drawn to it. God, grant it. Make prayer people out of us. May it get past just praying a list, and may it get to relationship with you and worship. And out of all that, make us what we need to be. In Christ's name.
Brother pastor, is your wife in here? I sure would appreciate if you'd come over here and she'd come over here. And I just think that we need to get around them. Brandon, y'all get down there, you and your wife with them. Boy, Satan wants to take y'all out. That's what he'd do right now if he could. I want y'all to pray God will give this man favor with God and man. Favor with preachers, young preachers. Oh, Lord. God, it's obvious you've anointed him. We know you have. But God, give him, Lord, what he needs. Oh, Lord. Please. He got such a heart for the lost. God, let him go.
After thy will, while I am waiting, yielded and still. Have thy Lord's will.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Ben. Well, I appreciate the message. I appreciate the message. Without Him, we can do nothing. But I'm glad with Him all things are possible. I love you, church. I appreciate what God's doing. And I'm looking forward to see what God's going to do. You pray. You pray God give us fruit. Fruit that remains. And that we will always love each other. I'm thankful for Brother Daniel. He had mentioned people investing in him. And he's one of the men that's invested in me. And I'm thankful for that. Thank you for being here. Brother Daniel, thank you for... Every night's been... I mean, it's been on target. I'm thankful for what God's doing. I'm humble. You think of, he was mentioning the providence of God, how God lines everything up, and that we're here because God put us here. And once you get in God's will, and you're there, don't try to get out of it. Brother Daniel, I know you've seen it. Brother Greg, you've seen it. Boy, these young men, they get so much zeal wanting to go do something for God. They miss a lot of time God's will because all they want to do is do something. And you're a whole lot better off just waiting on God and staying where you're at than you are running off half-cocked. Boy, I've seen it. I know you have as well. These men say, well, this is God's will. God's will doesn't change in your life 47 times where you're supposed to go to church and what ministry you're supposed to be a part of. Well, I'm this week and this the next week. You ought to just stay in there. And I'm thankful for folks that even sometimes you don't even understand it. You just say, I'm going to stay in there. God reveals it. Let's close in prayer tonight. And I can get the ushers to come. We are going to receive the offering, our church offering, regular Wednesday night offering. The ushers will be at the door. And I pray this. It's been one of those unusual meetings, hasn't it?
Yes.
But it's been on time.
Amen.
I mean, just right on time. And, boy, you think of how God's timing is. We had tent meeting here in October, and God moved in on that and really burdened some people as far as their service. And I believe this meeting here this week has been about our relationship. About our relationship with God. That was about our service for God. This has been about our relationship with God. Without the relationship, service won't be right. And I just pray that all of you would, and me, well, we'd be more burdened about our prayer life. You just heard about 10 sermons on prayer, 10 messages just tonight on that. And I pray it's been a help to you. I want you to stand with me. Again, thank you for being here. I know many of you have been here every night. You've sacrificed. You've had to work. You've come in here, hadn't eaten supper, just want to be at the house of God. And those of you that weren't able to make it tonight, some of our folks watching online, I know you wanted to be here tonight. And I want to commend you all for being here. I know, again, you stepped out and said, well, if we have church, we're going to church. And I believe God met with us and gave us something tonight because we were faithful to be here. So